Our speaker today, our opening speaker, is Dr. Dennis Kavanaugh. It's interesting, I believe he was hooded last year, was that correct? 2 years ago he was hooded. I always watch these PhD guys and gals, and they go into the catacombs and come up for air every once in a while out of the library, and I've watched Dennis through the years, and he persevered to the bitter end, and the Lord rewarded him with his hood 2 years ago, and he has done some teaching this year as an adjunct in the BE department as well. But let me tell you a little bit about Dennis before he comes. After being saved by God's grace, Dennis served the Lord as a crew staff member for 7 years, and 4 of those years working to establish Bible clubs among Japanese university students in Tokyo and later in Okinawa. Sensing a need for further theological education, he came to DTS where he enrolled in the THM program and while working part-time with an inner-city ministry. And during his PhD years, Dennis served the Lord as youth pastor at a Chinese-American church here in Dallas. Dr. Kavanaugh has also taught seminary students in Indonesia and recently ministered with a medical mission group in India. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. Dennis Kavanaugh as he comes? God bless you, and go for it.
Thank you. Thank you. I signed up for the first chapel session because I didn't want to follow one of the more eminent professors later on. So we'll get this over quickly. Peter is maybe my favorite character in the New Testament. He represents maybe the greatest single failure of anybody that I have read. He denied that he knew the Lord on the day that he was arrested. Jesus had said to him several times, very plainly, he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'll be killed there, and I'll be raised on the third day." Peter heard those words, but they didn't seem to have a great effect on him personally. And when the heat came, when the crisis hit, Peter ran. When I read 2 Peter, however, I see a different person. I see a different attitude toward the things that Jesus says. So let's read that together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Wonderful verses. Now, how is it that, I want to focus on verses 3 and 4, that Christ is the one with divine power who has granted everything pertaining to life and godliness. How does he do that? The key, I think, is right in that next expression, through the true knowledge of him who calls us. I like the way the Net Bible deals with that. It calls it the rich knowledge. There's something about a genuine, a rich, a true knowledge of who God is, who Christ is, that changes everything. The one who has power to impart everything pertaining to life and godliness. I mean, just amazing. It has the idea of being drawn into the inner circle of Christ. Now, it's not something that happens just automatically either. I mean, Judas was drawn into the inner circle of Jesus Christ, and yet he failed to connect with God. It seems like he came with his own agenda. He didn't come to listen and be instructed. He came with his ideas, and they weren't matching what Jesus said, and so he rejected that. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to draw near and to connect with who God is. And if we don't, so for example, when you are studying here in seminary, you will be tempted in your busyness to use the Word of God as a tool to accomplish your task, to finish the paper, the exegetical, whatever you're writing, and set it aside and move on to the next thing. And there's a kind of a mechanical process there that if you're not careful, you will miss the true knowledge that God wants to impart to you. And without that true, genuine, rich knowledge, these things that pertain to life and godliness can be missed. We can run on empty. We can really, you know, struggle and say, where is God in all my work, in all my struggle, in all my striving? Where is God? We need to be careful that we are handling the Word of God in order to be instructed, drawing near into the inner circle and gaining a true, genuine knowledge of who God is. Who is your God? Is he the one with divine power granting to you everything that pertains to life and godliness? We have a responsibility to connect with God and to believe that. When I was in the PhD program, I used to do a lot of tutoring. I would tutor high school students in SAT preparation, writing skills, things like that, all over the city, Plano, McKinney, Coppell. And it would keep me out late at night, and I'd be driving home 9:30, 10 o'clock sometimes. And one night around 9:30, I was hungry, and I was still 30 minutes away from home. I decided to stop at a Whole Foods and get a bite to eat. I'm sitting at my table, I'm eating a little something, and Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll come walking by my table. They don't know me, and I'm like, Chuck Swindoll! And they stopped and turned and came over and sat down with me. I mean, I was so surprised. They sat down. And I was really embarrassed. I just, you know, I'm like, well, I'm Dennis Kavanaugh, you know. I'm a PhD student at Dallas Seminary, and about halfway through the program, I had like 3.5 to 4 years behind me, another 3 or so years in front of me. And I was like, at this point, I'm beginning to wonder, why am I doing this? You know, they encouraged me. They just sat down and spoke a few minutes and encouraged me. At one point, I'll never forget it, Cynthia looked right at me and she said, Dennis, it's worth it. I'll tell you, that was the best thing I could have heard at that moment. It really was. It's worth it. And she's right. It's right what Peter is saying. You know what? This true, genuine, rich knowledge of who God is and how he is the one with divine power to grant to you everything pertaining to life and godliness, that is worth your time, your effort, your resources. It is worth it. So I want you to imagine something. Imagine you're sitting at a table in the library in, you know, Starbucks or your home, and Jesus Christ comes walking by your table. What would you do? And would you say, there's Jesus. I wish I had time to talk with him. Come back again sometime, Lord. We'll make it happen. You know, would that be your attitude? Or would you cry out to him, Lord Jesus? You know, is he willing to grant unto you what you need in that moment of your moment of need when you're writing, when you're studying, when you're reading, when you're memorizing? He is there. More than just somebody walking by your table, he says he is with you, he is in you, and he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. I'll tell you what, that is something worth connecting with. So secondly, okay, first I said, you know, Peter became a man of precious faith by seeing Jesus as the one with divine power, able to partake everything pertaining to life and godliness. Secondly, Peter became a man of great faith, or precious faith, by seeing Jesus' words as precious and magnificent promises. Let's look at verse 4. For by these, now that is his own glory and excellence, his own glory and virtue, by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. I don't know about you, but that is as good as it gets. I mean, that is awesome. That is really awesome. The idea of his glory and virtue, or his glory and excellence, I think what's really being said there is he is absolutely trustworthy. Christ is not going to say something to you that is untrue. He is not going to mislead you. He is not going to lead you in a direction and then not provide for you. He's not going to do that. He is absolutely trustworthy. It's by his glory and excellence that he calls, he grants to us these precious and magnificent promises. And so his promises are to be held in high esteem. That seems to be the real change in Peter now. The things that he hears from Christ are held in very high esteem. And therefore, he is being deeply affected by what he hears. So, are you listening? Are you listening to what Jesus says? Are you trusting him and being deeply affected by the word of God and by the person of Christ? And so what is the result? The result is that you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I've had students write papers on this verse for me because it's really intriguing. I don't believe it means we become gods, okay? I don't think that's what Peter is teaching. But to partake is it's a serious idea. It's to share in. We share in Christ's own divine nature in some way. You know, right now, at least I think I could say this much. We share in Christ's moral victory over sin. We do. We share in his moral victory over sin. Anybody need that? Victory over temptation, victory over doubt and sin and the devil and the world and fretting and anxiety and worry. Anybody need that? We share in his moral victory over sin and doubt and everything else. Eventually, we will share in his victory over death, and we will share in his own glory. We will be glorified in the presence of Christ. I mean, those are promises that you need to hold and I need to hold in high esteem and consider them precious and magnificent promises. So let me just say this. If we're going to become people of precious faith, we need to draw near into the inner circle of Christ. We need to connect with God through who he is, the one with divine power, able to impart everything pertaining to life and godliness. And we need to see his promises as precious and magnificent. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you again for a reminder of who you are, a reminder of what this word is, and a reminder of who we are. Saints that are called by your own glory and excellence, and those who receive the precious promises of God, and we hold them in high esteem and pray that you would impart to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray.